Presenting The Song of My Soul, another in a series of radio dramas brought to you each week by the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed to all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. The Song of My Soul was staged in the studios of the General Broadcasting Company in New York. It was almost like digging up a living fossil the other day when a faded flower of the gay 90s was found penniless and almost dead from starvation. She is the widow of Prince Leopold Ossentovsky, the famous gypsy fiddler. Probably as preposterous a character as ever lived. But this funny little person made people call him to such an extent that he convinced himself that he was no less than the crown prince and died believing that he was the real thing. Born in the gypsy camp, Leopold lived like others of his kind without visible means of support. The best he hoped to achieve in a musical way was to play fiddle in a gypsy orchestra with an occasional solo to his credit.
Was that not beautiful, Chandor?
Yes.
My solo, of course.
I have told you time without number, no.
Tell me, exalted maestro, just why you scorn my music?
I do not scorn your music. It is your conceit, your ego that spoils everything you attempt to do.
Oh, come now, Chandor. That is no way to discourage your son-in-law.
The fact that Rosika, in the first rush of puppy love, saw fit to marry you has nothing to do with your music.
Oh, but it has, my fond papa. There is the matter of my obtaining a position in your orchestra to be considered.
You? In an orchestra of Chandor's? Never.
I see. Then what am I supposed to do? I must have work, as much as I dislike it, to provide for Rosita and me.
I have thought of that, and this is what I have to say. I will provide you with a sum of money with which you may go away from here.
Away from here?
Exactly.
Very well. It will be better for me. There is no opportunity for me to find appreciation here. Give me the money and I will leave for Budapest.
Budapest?
That is what I said. I will start there and go on to larger fields once they accept me in Budapest.
I am afraid that if you wait for that, you will lose your violin in the folds of a flowing beard.
I will wager you that within the year, the whole world will be talking of Leopold and his marvelous violin. My music will be a byword in every capital of the world before I am through.
Leopold leaves his home village and goes to Budapest. Here, Chandor's prediction comes true. Nobody would hire the conceited little fiddler. He wanders on to Berlin, where he managed to get a job playing in a beer garden.
Here's a table over here, Rhoda.
Oh, isn't it charming?
Yes, I think. Very nice indeed, but what's this?
Well, I beg your pardon. But perhaps the beautiful lady would like to hear the music of Leopold Ossentovsky, no?
I'd love it, I'm sure.
It is the story of a humblest fiddler's love for his music. I play the song of my soul. Beautiful, is it not?
Marvelous. Divine. Here, a small reward for your effort.
What? 1,000 marks? Oh, mademoiselle, 1,000 thanks.
Leopold, after he'd overcome the shock of receiving such a tip as 1,000 marks, learns that the beautiful girl who had rewarded him so generously is the wife of a well-known European prince. Who thinks that this little gypsy fiddler should consider winning the beautiful princess was too absurd for anyone with common sense to even dream of. But Leopold had no sense. When the princess returned to the Hofbrau 3 nights in succession, everyone but Leopold was surprised.
Leopold!
my beautiful Rhoda. You came again to hear the music of Leopold.
Do you think so, Leopold?
Perhaps you came to see me?
Sit down and see.
Where is the husband, the prince?
He returned to Paris from the late express.
Then you are alone?
Am I?
Oh, well, of course you have me. Oh, that is something.
I think it is a very great deal.
Tell me, my darling, why is it that you come here for 3 nights in succession? Is it because you like to hear me play, eh?
I think perhaps that was what first attracted me. But after that, it was something else.
Me?
Yes.
I thought so. There is something about me which you could not resist, eh?
There is something, yes.
Then why should we wait any longer?
What do you mean, Leopold?
If we have the great love for each other, why should we wait?
You mean that...
I mean that the gypsy heart within me beats for you and you alone. I mean that we can be happy together. Why do we not marry, eh?
It will take time, Leopold.
Because of your husband, the prince?
Yes.
Do you love him?
No, not since I met you, dear.
Very well, then. Why not divorce him?
And until then, we can be happy, can't we, Leopold?
Most certainly. Why not? We have each other. My music...
But what, Leopold?
I am so poor. I give all to my art. I have no time, no thought for the making of money.
I understand perfectly, darling. I'll take care of all that. I have plenty. We can go anywhere in the world we want to. You can have your music and me, and we'll be happy. Oh, so happy.
Oh, I am now the happiest man in the world. Chandor, he told me I never would be a success. To him I would like to show what I have done.
Chandor? Who is he, Leopold?
He is my father. Well, I call him my father. But he's just the leader of a gypsy orchestra who told me I was not good enough to play for him.
Oh, bah. Don't worry about him. You have always been unhappy.
Oh, yes. Always unhappy. Nobody but you has ever understood the soul that is within me. No one has ever believed that I am the great artist. But now, you believe. You love me. And I am happy. I play.
My gypsy prince.
Oedipus consults with the scandal of the princess eloping with a gypsy fiddler. But the princess made the prince, as Leopold now called himself, famous. He was in demand as a curiosity, fiddling his way at fabulous prices from one restaurant to another throughout Europe. But the inevitable happened. Princess Rhoda found out just who and what her fiddle-playing prince really was. So she divorced him. And now comes the strangest part of the story of the life of Prince Leopold. Some years after Princess Rhoda had divorced him, he met a young girl many years his junior. Leela Bradley was her name. She, like countless others, fell for the prince and married him. Possessed of a considerable fortune, she proceeded to squander it lavishly. But Leela's fortune was small compared to that of the Princess Rhoda, and within a few years, she and Leopold found themselves practically without funds. The silly little gypsy fiddler had heard his last call. Penniless and forgotten, except for his wife, Leela, who had stuck to him to the bitter end, Prince Leopold is in a cheap flat and is about to meet his maker.
You ask me if I'm sorry to know that you're about to leave me forever, Leopold.
Yes.
It's only natural that I should be sorry to see any living thing die.
But you are my wife.
Oh, but you could never understand me, Leopold. I have been your wife, yes. So have countless other women. To you, there has never been anything sacred in marriage.
I love them all.
Love? You don't know the meaning of the word. That is probably the reason I've put up with you all these years.
Because... Why, I don't understand you.
Of course you wouldn't. I bear you no ill will. You knew no better.
I still do not understand.
I don't wish to take an unfair advantage of you at this time.
No, no matter. It won't be for long.
I've stuck to you as I have. Not because I love you, but because there's something pathetic about you. All your life you've been wrapped up in your own silly little self.
I am a great artist.
Don't carry that farce any further, Leopold. My sole reason for talking to you as I am now is with the hope that you may at least pass on with some knowledge of how you not only wasted your own life, but that of everyone with whom you've came in contact. I may not have loved you for the last few years of our life together, But I do feel that I've been the only real, the only genuine thing that ever had, well, that you've ever had in your peculiar warped existence.
You have been a good girl, Dina.
I've been no better. Nor any worse than the others that you've known. The only thing is that I've stuck with you and the others failed. I've become more of a habit, I think.
I have never thought of you like that.
No. Perhaps I've flattered you. You probably never thought of me at all after my money was gone.
Please.
I want you to know that I've never felt anything but sorry for you, Leopold. You've done the best you knew how with what you had to work with.
There has been my music.
Yes. Your music.
Lila.
Yes?
It can't be very long now, can it?
I don't know, Leopold. The end may come at any time.
Would you care to make me very happy in my last few minutes?
I'd do the best I can. What is it?
All I have left. All there is in the world to me.
Yes. Yes?
My violin. Would you take it out of the case and hand it to me?
Yes. Yes, certainly. Here you are. Here you are, Leopold.
Thank you. Now, the love of my life. My all.
Leopold. No.
Gone. Even in death, your conceit allows you to believe yourself the greatest musician of them all. Well, at least you had faith. Yes, Sybil. It's always been you. You and the spell of the music you brought from your wooden soul. That have kept others from their rightful happiness. In the memory of those you've cheated, I send you to join your master. You and the romantic fiddler have played the song of my soul for the last time.
Read the interesting story of the Gypsy Fiddler in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed all first to Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. And now for the last warning about the great American Weekly slogan contest. Have you sent in your coupons and ideas for a slogan? There is still time, you know. The contest closes officially at 5 p.m. Monday, October 23rd. Your coupon must be received before 5 p.m. next Monday in New York. Don't let another day's delay deprive you of the opportunity to earn the prize of $1,000 a year for the rest of your life. Act today, and good luck to you. ¶¶